Afternoon. It's good to see the faithful remnant. I was tempted to take a seat there, but I don't think I'm up to that yet. It's interesting to be on with Brother Tom Taylor. I don't know how old I was, and I don't know if he remembers. When I was raised in the Germantown Assembly, and I guess you were going to school, were you? And Tom came to the Germantown Assembly, and he lived around the corner from the Assembly, right next to the candy shop that we all went to for at the breaks between meetings. It was a city assembly with very narrow parking on Kapler Street. And so Tom and I actually go back pretty far. And then actually up until 12 years ago when we moved to York, we lived about 3 miles apart. And our brother was talking about greener pastures. If you'd like to do that, you could move to Pennsylvania. and another green spot I know up there in Pennsylvania. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Ezekiel 34. Actually, it's pretty white up there now. I thank you again for your prayers. I am blessed with prayer partners, one of which obviously I've brought with me. And there are folks in the home assembly and up in Pennsylvania who ask specifically for my schedule and responsibilities and faithfully support us in prayer. And it's a wonderful thing to have. Ezekiel 34, verse 1, and the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, Thus saith the Lord God to the shepherds, Woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock. The weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who were sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back what was driven away, nor sought what was lost, but with force and cruelly you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and on every high hill. Yes, my flock was scattered over the whole face of the earth, and no one was seeking or searching for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, says the Lord God, surely because my flock became prey and my flock became food for every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, nor did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed my flock. Therefore, O shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand. I will cause them to cease feeding the sheep, and the shepherds shall feed themselves no more. For I will deliver my flock from their mouths, that they may no longer be food for them. We've looked at shepherding disobedient sheep. We've looked at shepherding dangling sheep, as I call them, and now shepherding damaged sheep. Many of the Lord's sheep are damaged in some way or another. They are wounded and they need care. In my vast military medical training of 12 weeks, there were three letters that were stressed to us. And those in the medical field here today will recall them. TLC, tender, loving care. Stressed over and over, TLC. Don't forget TLC, tender, loving care. It's still important. There's a great variety of ways in which the sheep can be wounded. Some are distraught. They're disturbed. They're upset. Some are distracted. Other things have taken their attention. Some are distressed. They're experiencing great pain and grief. And I think grief is worse than pain. Some are discouraged, disheartened, no incentive. Some are depressed, dejected, and crushed. Some are divorced, feeling guilty, lonely, uncertain about life. Some have been disciplined and perhaps alone and tempted. Some have been defamed, slandered. Some are diseased and ill. And you'll notice all those start with D. So you can add to D list. Just checking to see if you how much you ate for lunch. It's important when we're dealing with the wounded sheep that we diagnose the problem. To diagnose, according to the dictionary, is to ascertain the cause, as of an illness or disease, by studying the symptoms. And so we need to diagnose when we come across wounded sheep, not make hasty judgments, but study the symptoms. Haste makes waste, and it can cause us to make foolish assumptions and make foolish decisions. And then we need to come up with a diagnosis, which is the conclusion reached after careful study. It is important in our attempting to keep those sheep which are wounded to know their condition and the cause of it. Just as a physician is dealing with a patient, a hasty diagnosis can lead to poor judgment and wrong treatment. In fact, treatment that may worsen the situation or bring it to an undesirable end. First impressions must be verified. Again, this stresses the importance of communication. I've been in a wide variety of doctor's offices in the last 4 or 5 years. Some of them listen very well. They ask questions and they listen and they contribute to the diagnosis. Unfortunately, some do not listen too well and they make hasty assumptions. And sometimes they assume that which is absolutely not true. And many times they treat the symptom and not the disease. And we can do the same in dealing with God's wounded sheep. We can be hasty. We can fail to listen. We can make quick assumptions. And we may go by first impressions. And we may treat the symptoms rather than the real problem. We need to understand what type of wound we're dealing with. Just as in the medical world, you need to know what type of wound you're dealing with, we need to know what type of problem we're dealing with. Is it viral or bacterial? Is it internal or external? Was it a stab, a puncture, or a laceration? Is it the heart or is it the gallbladder? It's important that we make these distinctions in the medical world. And it's very important when we're dealing with wounded sheep that we take time to make sure we understand what type of wound we're dealing with. It may seem to be one sort of wound, but really another. We might look at Samson and see his blindness and begin to treat him and assume that this blindness is for one reason or another. But if we were to deep into Simon's life, Samson's life, what we would find in Samson's life is this, that his blindness was a result of disobedience and pride. Not apparent at first. Only after we thoroughly investigate would we know that that was the issue with Samson. And then there would be David. Perhaps we would see David depressed. And we might begin to apply all of the latest techniques for depression. But if we were to dig into David's past and listen to David and converse with David, maybe we would find the real problem is unconfessed sin. You know, I talked about 12 weeks of medical training. That's about enough to make one dangerous. It's true when you take, I can remember taking one psychology course in college. That's enough to make one dangerous. You need to know, is this a physical problem? Is this an emotional problem? Is this a spiritual problem? We may come across a family that is considering divorce. And we may look at this couple and we may make certain assumptions. But we often find if we wait and we talk and we listen, it may be something like finances is the real problem. Finances is probably the chief cause of divorce. So we need to really take time to diagnose it, to understand the background, to make sure we're not hasty in our judgments. We need to know the source of the wound. Medically speaking, was the wound made with a clean kitchen knife or was it made with a rusty can? It makes a difference, you know. Was it made with a shotgun or with a rifle? Spiritually, there are a number of sources of spiritual wounds. And perhaps the number one source of spiritual wounds are self-inflicted. Many saints have a way of inflicting themselves with pain. Samson did it. Saul did it. The Philippian jailer wanted to do it. And often in our own lives, we can inflict ourselves, we can wound ourselves, and those who would come to our aid need to understand that often we're dealing with self-inflicted wounds. Some saints are thin-skinned. If you blink at them the wrong way, or too fast or too slow, or you fail to say hello one morning, they're going home and they're going to sit in their corner and they're going to assume that for some reason you no longer love them. Self-inflicted. There are those who go into money-making schemes. Christians drawn in with the idea of making money. And they find themselves with self-inflicted wounds. Sometimes even medical problems. And do not be surprised if some medical problems are not related to self-inflicted spiritual wounds. David said this, when I kept silent, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. James writes, is any sick among you? And I believe the word for sick there is not so much, you know, they have the flu. It's that they are worn and wearied. We might say depressed in the sense of discouraged. Let them call for the elders of the church and let them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of the faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise them up. It seems evident, since the individual calls the elders, that there may well be a spiritual problem that has brought on this condition. Another source of wounds are siblings, family members, husbands, wives, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles. The Bible is filled with such situations. Cain and Abel, David and Absalom, Jacob and Esau, Joseph and his brothers, Isaac and Rebekah, family members inflicting wounds upon other family members. Sadly, the wounds may be from other saints. It's sad, isn't it, that we wound one another? A word said in anger, perhaps a failure to express grief when it's appropriate. Think of Acts 6, where the Hellenistic widows were ignored and no doubt wounded. Paul says, lie not one to another, and he must mean that because he must say it because Christians lie one to another. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Why would the Apostle Paul write that? Because at times it marks the Lord's people. He also writes, but if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed, or you do not consume one another. We often say children can be mean. Sad but true, the Lord's people can be mean, vicious, biting, devouring, unkind, unforgiving, inflicting wounds on brothers and sisters in the Lord, wounds at times that are very deep, wounds that hurt considerably. And so even saints are a source of these wounds. Society is a source of wounds. It may be that this individual has taken a stand where they're in school or where they work, and society has lashed out at them, and they're suffering persecution, and they've been wounded for righteousness' sake. It may be that this is from Satan. We have the wonderful advantage of 20/20 hindsight when we read Job. We know the story. Job didn't. Job didn't turn and see where Satan was holding counsel with the Lord and coming upon an agreement as to how far and extent that his damage could go. But it may well be that this is an infliction from the adversary. Lastly, and perhaps the saddest of all, is the wound may come from the shepherds themselves. The very ones that should be providing care and comfort and encouragement to the wounded are the very ones who wound the sheep, lording it over them, legalistically making demands, being unkind, feeding off of them, harsh, wounding the very sheep that God has entrusted to their care. You yourself could be the cause of the very wound you're attempting to treat. Sobering, but true. And having found the source of wound and the source of the wound, we need to deal with the severity of the wound, and wisdom is needed. And that's why prayer is so vital. If we're going to deal and shepherd wounded sheep, we must be shepherds that pray. There cannot just be the natural reasoning in approaching these wounds from the natural perspective. These are spiritual difficulties, spiritual wounds that take spiritual insights and spiritual wisdom. And we need to be dependent, honestly confessing our lack of wisdom at times. And those of you who are in oversight, you have already faced it. You have faced those circumstances where you just put your hands up in the air and you have no idea where to go. When you get the person that's been married the fourth time and has got children from three marriages and now there's a complex problem, and you just don't know where to go. We need to be men of prayer. You know, it's easy to spend 95% of your time on 5% of the sheep. If we're not men of prayer and seeking wisdom and discernment, we can forsake the mass for a few wrongly. Some saints will cover up the severity. They'll speak of it as simply a scratch, but they won't tell you it was with a rusty nail. Others will blow it out of proportion. We have three daughters. If the first daughter screamed, I'd run. Something's wrong. If the second daughter screamed, I'd probably just sit still. If she screamed a second time, then I'd run. She would scream over everything. And we have to know the saints well enough to know the severity and know them well enough that we can ascertain the real severity of the wound. Knowing the person is invaluable. Some are forgiving but not forgetting. Others easily forgive and forget. When the wound is superficial, we need to make sure we do not spend time treating it as if it was major surgery. Strive not with a man without cause if he has done thee no harm. The situation may appear far worse than it is. I can remember in my medical days, I was stationed in Frankfurt, Germany, in a large dispensary. And the other men in that facility had a habit of going off to town. And they could buy German beer at that time for 15 cents a bottle, 12% content. It was not uncommon for them to be brought back by the MPs, having been in fights, and their face completely filled with blood in their hair. And I would start to slowly clean them up. And when all was said and done, there was a little scratch up here. I have to confess that after time, I even got hardened. And the TLC was set aside. And I used to give them a sponge and a basin and say, clean yourself up, and when you're done, give me a call. It happened so often. But just a little scratch, and yet the situation looks so critical. We have to ascertain these things when we're dealing with wounded sheep. It could be a superficial wound. It'll heal with little pain, but one that requires follow-up. It could be a substantial wound. Life-threatening, no small thing. Jeremiah writes, woe is me for my hurt, my wound is grievous. This could be that which alters the course of the future. This wound could set the direction for the rest of one's life. Could be divorce, could be departing from the assembly, could be leaving the family, and action is needed now. We need to know that. We need to make that judgment. How severe is this wound? And if it's very severe, it's no time to ask an individual who's having a heart attack what their schedule is for tomorrow. We need to take the appropriate immediate action, and so too with God's sheep. Then there needs to be appropriate treatment. If you come to Pennsylvania, and if you come to Greenwood Hills, first of all, we give you towels and we give you air conditioning. And we even give you waitress service. But we'll also give you a tour of Gettysburg. And if you go to Gettysburg, you'll be told this. That during that battle where 50,000 people died in 3 days, many of the wounded played dead so as not to be picked up by the medical corps. They felt they stood a better chance of living if they played dead than if they were picked up by the medical corps and thrown on the back of a wagon, pulled by horses, and bounced across the battlefield and taken to a makeshift hospital where they drilled holes in the floor to let the blood run through. And I wonder sometimes if the saints don't feel that way about the way we treat the wounded. Maybe it'll be better if I act dead and I seek no treatment whatsoever. We need appropriate treatment. And let me suggest that as you go and you visit and you talk and you diagnose and you deal with the wounded and you provide encouragement and what's needed, that you go with some thought of how severe is this? How critical is it? And you go with what needs to be done immediately. What needs to be done short term? What needs to be done long term? It will help you as you sit and you discuss and you talk with them and you find out and you make this diagnosis and you come to conclusions. What needs to be done immediately? What needs to be done over a short term? What needs to be done over the long term? Don't go and expect to treat them appropriately with no forethought, no game plan. Maybe immediately when you visit them and you've discussed it with them and you've come to the conclusion, maybe you can suggest some appropriate help to relieve the pressure immediately. Maybe they need some meals immediately. Maybe they need some babysitting immediately. Maybe they need some housing, prayer, financial support, ministry, transportation. Maybe they need confronting immediately. Maybe they need forgiveness and to exercise it. And we need to be thinking, when we deal with the wounded sheep, what must I do? What must we do immediately? Brother Keller, in his book, talks about cast sheep. These are sheep that have found a soft spot in the ground, and because of their heavy wool, they have turned themselves upside down, and their feet are straight in the air, and they have no ability to set themselves up again. And if not set up straight again, they will die. And they need immediate action. And often, we as shepherds and assemblies have no game plan. And I would suggest that as we go to meet with them and treat them and encourage them, that we think about what needs to be done immediately. What can be done immediately. And then we need to think what needs to be done on the short term. Next week, next month, next 6 months, what needs to be done. Maybe some financial counseling. I've been with several different assemblies where individuals have come in and have claimed hardships and have asked the assembly for money. In one case, the assembly gave them the money. In the other case, the other assembly said, give us the bill. We'll pay the bill, but we're not giving you the money. And in fact, we will pay your bill, but we are sending several brethren to your house. And we would like to review your financial status, and we would like to send them there to help you do some financial planning and to go over some financial principles from Scripture. And maybe over the next few months, we'd like to meet with you. Rather than just doing the immediate and giving them the money, there's also the short term, this meeting and going over financial principles and helping them to learn good financial management or whatever's necessary. Maybe it's in that interim time you'll check with the nursing homes in the area. Maybe they'll give you time to speak with other saints. Maybe you will instruct the wounded. Perhaps the best thing for you to do in the next week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks is to stay away from the source of your wound. Just stay away from the source of your wound for the next 3 weeks or so. Then long term, You see, we often just do this immediate action, and then we disappear. But if we're really going to recover the wounded, it's going to be more than just some quick action, a week of meals. Perhaps there's those cases where that's sufficient. But there ought to be more than that. There's this continually shepherding, following up, meeting, short-term, long-term. It may be that we'll meet over the next year, we'll meet monthly for breakfast. We'll meet monthly one-on-one Bible study. Whatever it is, we need to be ready to be continually following up, working with them, bringing them back to health. You know, I went through the agony this summer of surgery on my shoulder for a complete tear of the rotator cuff. It hurts. But they didn't just throw me out of the hospital. Say, well, we hope you do well. And isn't that what we often do with wounded sheep? We visit them once or twice. We put a little bit of medicine on and we cut them loose and we say, well, we hope you do well. No, I had to go back to the doctor's office every so many weeks. I had to go to 12 weeks of therapy, being stretched and pounded on and heated up and cooled down and a lot of other things. There was that necessary follow-up, staying with the sheep, bringing the sheep to full recovery. It takes time. It takes TLC. It takes concern. It's like Paul's illustration we talked about. There was the giving mother, the nursing mother, caring for, bringing the child along, tender, compassionate, caring. And he was also a guiding father, leading, directing, advising. And so often this is needed. We have in our minds too often the idea that we're going to visit someone, and when we visit them, we're just going to see them return to the assembly the following week. No, it may be months. And we're going to have to continue to minister to them. It may be a very, very severe wound. It takes time. And there's going to have to be this continual ministry and care and concern and follow-up. You know, it's sad that sheep get wounded, but it's a wonderful thing when they're restored. You know, you put time into restoring a wounded sheep, one that perhaps is bitter toward the assembly, bitter toward other saints, bitter toward the world, perhaps even bitter toward the Lord. And you minister to them, and you work with them, and you give them time, and you stay with them, and you see them come back into fellowship with the Lord, with the saints, with the assembly. It reminds us of what John would write. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. You want to experience a thrill in life? Invest yourself in a wounded sheep. Invest yourself in the Lord's people. Nurse them. Slowly bring them back to health. See them restored, active, functioning. You know, when they dismissed me from therapy, the therapists were thrilled. I mean, they felt they did a tremendous job, and they did. And it was a thrill to them to see me walk out of there with full movement. Translate that into the spiritual world. What a thrill it should be for us to recover the wounded, to bring them back, bind them up, strengthen them, encourage them, meet their needs, but to do it properly, with patience and with tender, loving care. Let's close in prayer. Before I close in prayer, I want to thank you for your prayers again and for this conference, to this assembly, because of a need to get home tomorrow for the test. Basically, we will be leaving immediately to catch a plane. So I want to thank each one of you. It's been a pleasure to be with you. And we just encourage you to just Do the work. Do what you can. Strengthen what remains. Let's pray. Gracious God and Father, we thank you that you have sought us so often when we've been wounded, whatever the source may be, tenderly dealing with us, patiently dealing with us, wisely dealing with us, meeting our needs slowly, appropriately, bringing us along. We thank you for your patience with us and loving us, restoring us, making us healthy and wholesome and fit and useful again. Lord, we pray that we might have a heart for the wounded, that we might look about and see those who, for whatever reason, are not in full good spiritual health, and that we may seek them out, encourage, instruct, confront. We would pray you give us wisdom to make the right diagnosis and wisdom for the right treatment, and that we would have a plan and we would have a love that continues on until they are at full health. We just thank you for this conference. We ask your continued blessing upon it. We just pray for the assemblies that are represented, many, for those who have the responsibility of shepherding the sheep. Lord, help us, encourage us, break us, convict us, energize us to do your work. We thank you for the many faithful shepherds there are who give their lives for the sheep. Encourage them and help them to continue on. So we just commend your word to thee. We thank you for it. We thank you above all for the Lord Jesus, the great shepherd, the good shepherd who gave his life for us, that shepherd that will see us through this valley of the shadow of death, and that chief shepherd that's coming. We thank you for him. And we pray in his precious name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.